Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we put in work on our business.
Welcome to the war room. You got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, sort of war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, the diversified and educated.
What up, good people, and happy 4th, sports fans. Welcome back to the Roundtable. You're once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here at the table with my partner, Jimmy Williams. B. Austin will join us a little bit later. The NBA draft is come and gone, so now it's player movement time. We'll discuss some of the major trades and signings, but coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll be talking with former Bengals and Redskins safety Sam Shade about several current NFL issues, including his thoughts on Robert Griffin III, so you don't want to miss that, especially you Redskins fans. But right now, make sure you join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in on the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline. That number is 323-410-0012. But before we get started, we got to shout out the team as usual. Make sure you listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Also, check out Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, also on Blog Talk Radio. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at warroomsports.blogspot.com. And in addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com, 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, let's get into this rundown and talk about what you guys missed this week while y'all were on the grind. Jimmy, what's going on, man?
Man, you already know, man. I'm chilling, man. No days off. You know how it is.
All right. it's the holiday. Like you said, we don't take days off, man. The show must go on. So let's talk about, well, first of all, as you may know already, the grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, make sure you go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. Now, the first thing, man, this story is kind of crazy, man. I mean, we know MJ is a very competitive dude, you know, and he's a gambler. A former host from one of those MTV video shows, she was a VJ. Her name was Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I can't remember her last name. Kennedy something. She said that she was out to dinner one day with Michael Jordan and Russell Simmons in New York City, and MJ brought out some dice. So she said before too long, Mike was asking her to play for something. And she said, well, he said, if I win, you can come back to my hotel room with me tonight. At the time, she was freaked out because she was a virgin. And these are her words. She imagined that MJ's giant penis would eviscerate her from the inside out. So she asked if they could play for some Knicks tickets instead. So when she, you know, after she said that, Mike reminded her that he was married and offered her Nets tickets as a consolation. What's up with your man MJ trying to gamble,
man,
for some...
Mike is about that creep life, man. And the thing is, it's like we all know that Michael Jordan, right, was such a creep that we believe the story. He could have been just joking with her. He could have not been joking with her. But at the end of the day, nobody believes she's lying because, you know, as great as a basketball player as he is, all we hear is creep stories coming from Mike after his career is over. But it's kind of funny, man. But Mike out there trying to, like, violate young women. Mike got to chill, man.
Come on, MJ, man. Yo,
hey, yo, all the stories you hear about Mike, you be like, yeah.
AJ, you know, he tried to roll craps for some cat.
Yeah.
Come on, Mike. You can't do that.
Mike got control, man.
All right, so, you know, a few weeks ago, we talked about Lolo Jones and the whole check thing from the bobsledding community. You know, they didn't really like her posting the check out there, showing everybody that they don't really make any money. Well, she's getting blasted on Twitter again because she tweeted a joke about the George Zimmerman trial, the whole Trayvon Martin situation.
Yeah.
As you know, Trayvon's girlfriend, Rachel Jean Tell, was on the stand testifying, and she tweeted this while she was on the stand. She said, Rachel Jean Tell looked so irritated during the cross-examination that I burned it on DVD, and I'm going to sell it as Madea Goes to Court. I don't even know what to say, man. Lolo, first of all, I ain't going to front. It was kind of funny. But at the same time,
still,
like,
man,
this would be like the third or fourth time that Lolo Jones has gotten burned for something that she's tweeted. One thing I give her, the only credit I give her in this whole thing, she's never deleted this tweet or one that she got in trouble for before. So, you know, she's kind of like, I say something, I'm going to stand behind it,
yeah,
whether it was ignorant
or not. She stands behind the ignorance, man. And my thing is this, though, right? Lolo is out of control, man. First of all, we know that within the African-American community, we have this thing where we hate ourselves anyway, and she just fed into that. Mm-hmm. And some things, like, even if they're funny, yo, when you're in a certain position, you just can't say that. Like, I mean, specifically with her history, because she's hated. Let's just keep it real. She's hated a lot of times because of everything that she gets based upon her perceived beauty. But everything you see or hear from her makes... Go ahead.
No, I said I got proof of some of that. I got some of the tweets that she got in return. Somebody tweeted,
yeah,
Rachel Jean Tell and Lolo Jones have the same number of gold medals.
somebody...
Then the next person tweeted, shouldn't Lolo Jones be training for another Olympic failure or something?
Ooh!
And then the last one says, Lolo Jones' attempts for LOLs about as fruitful as her attempts to medal. We can't be surprised.
Wow. I'm surprised. Well, probably was. We just didn't see it. Some jokes about her her last payday. But at the end of the day, man, like, Lolo is out of control. She's not helping herself. With some of the stuff she says. You know, remember during the Olympics, she had a tweet where she was talking about, yeah, we lost in archery, but the gun shooting comes up soon, we're going to win.
Yeah,
that with Americans. Like,
yeah, and that was one of those tweets that I was talking about, that she kept it up.
It's one of these things, man. Listen, she's in a different position than most. Some people have to watch what they say on Twitter. Like me, I'm a creep. I'm a weirdo. I can say a kind of craziness because at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, that's not my brand. My brand is not what her brand is. She's supposed to be this wholesome, you know, light-skinned woman. I just wanted to say that. But she's ruining that with some of the stuff she says, man. Like, she got to chill, man.
Yeah.
Definitely got to chill.
Well, like I said, you make a good point because, like you said, she's basically hated for a lot of the stuff that she gets and people feel like she doesn't deserve. So, you know, for you to be the spokeswoman for brands that people think you shouldn't even be the spokeswoman for, you probably should keep quiet.
Yeah,
but
kind of restrained.
You know,
like,
I'm not to shush anybody. You know.
And of course. Now, you know, I believe in free speech as well, but I'm just talking about long term. You know what I'm saying? When her beauty starts to fade, because it happens with everybody. Like, yo, what's she gonna do? Keep getting $700 checks? I mean, it ain't like she a winner. Let's keep it a B.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
man.
All right. Well,
man, stop it,
look,
Lolo. Cut it out, Lolo.
Yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about Lorenzen Wright. I mean, we all know that former basketball player Lorenzen Wright was murdered a few years back. Now, he had gotten a divorce, like, right before he got murdered. And his ex-wife still got some money from an insurance policy when he passed. She got $1 million insurance policy. Reports are saying that she spent $973,000 of that $1 million in a little less than 10 months. 10 months she spent this money. And I believe they have something like 6 children together. So, you know, the money wasn't just for her to go out balling, like you said. These are some of her reported purchases. $32,000 for a Cadillac Escalade, $26,000 for a Lexus, $69,000 on furniture, $11,750 for a New York trip. That was a shopping trip, probably. $339,000 for the purchase and improvement to a new home, $7,100 for a pool deposit, $5,000 for lawn equipment, and I guarantee you she's not out there pushing no damn lawnmowers, and $34,000 on legal fees. So, yeah.
Man.
There were some more death benefits that the judge kind of routed to his father, but, you know, she was in the court trying to fight his father on that stuff. I mean, what do you take from this? Like I said, these people have 6 kids together, and you blew almost $1 million
out
in 10
of
months?
Control.
Wait,
so my thing is this, man. She out there, like, you know, on her Randy Moss job, you know what I mean?
Great cash, homie.
and the thing is, she paid that kind of money for the house. I guarantee you she probably can't afford the taxes now, so she probably wound up losing that house. And you're buying, what do you need both the cars for? Like, you know, I just don't get it. I feel sorry for the children. And from my understanding, she was one of, like, the prime suspects in this murder to begin with. And it doesn't make her look any better now that you got $1 million and you blew through it almost all of it in 8 months. Yo, I just don't understand. What did the kids get? I didn't hear the kids get anything in that entire, I guess, a new home to stay in.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing just doesn't look good. You know what I mean? Just
probably one,
doesn't look
one
good.
Of them homes where they're not allowed to touch anything. Though. Don't touch that. That's not yours.
Come on, man. Like, this doesn't look good at all, man. I mean, she's another black girl off. I feel sorry for her. Some people
JoJo,
just don't know how to handle money.
You want to queue up that
she
JoJo?
she might get the JoJo Award of the Week because, yo, she got 6 kids, man. She's definitely a black girl lost, man. So, you know. I just hope the kids are taken care of, man. At the end of the day, they're going to be the ones that suffer. Because, I mean, you know, she probably was living a certain lifestyle when he was around because he was a pro ball player. And, you know, he was okay. He was a nice player, so he was making nice money.
Right.
But at the end of the day, if he's no longer here to bring that money in, you got to adjust yourself. I mean, a lot of people live above their means, but, yo, everybody's
I mean,
above
they were,
their means. Let's keep it a bean. You got 6
they
kids,
were divorced, though. And they were divorced anyway, so even if he was still here and he was still playing ball, you know, there's no telling how much money you would be getting. I mean, he was on the hook for like $16,000 a month in child support. And when he finished playing in 2009, like he hadn't gotten that adjusted yet. So supposedly he was still paying that when he died. But that was going to change soon because his income drastically decreased. So, you know,
but here's
there was
the
no
thing,
way.
Though. Here's the thing, though. If he was paying $16,000 a month, right? Let's just say he was here. That means, quick math, that's about $128,000 that she would have got within an 8-month period. I mean, that's some nice chicken, but it's not what she spent. She spent over $900,000 within that same time frame. So, yo, she definitely was out of control. Because even if he was here paying the 16 racks a month, it doesn't equal up to what she spent in 8 months, man. I want to know, like, what's her plan? Like, as she was going through this, did she ever hit her, like, yo, maybe I need to slow down? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess she was like YOLO. It is what it is. I don't know.
Yeah, but how many, you know, people do we know of our hue that says that to themselves? Like, yo, I need to slow down. You got that kind of money, people gonna spend it until it's not there no more. It's crazy.
I'm not even.
You know
gonna
what?
Put it on a hue. I'm gonna put it on just like human nature, man. Everybody. Most people live above their means. I mean, if people didn't live above their means, capitalism wouldn't work. And I'm not going to jump on my, you know, I'm not going to stand on my soapbox and start preaching. But, I mean, thank you for helping the economy, Mrs. Wright. Anyway.
So I'm going to give a shout out to my homie, to our homie, Omar McGee out in L.A. Because, you know, the school that he's opening up out there, the charter school, is basically focusing on finance. And it's going to teach these young kids, you know, how to deal with money. So, you know, if they ever get a piece of change in their life, they just won't go out like this because this is kind of ridiculous. And we see way too many stories like this. So,
man.
But shout out to O for the Executive Prep Academy of Finance out in L.A.
Yeah, it's definitely needed.
All right, so we talked about this when it hit the wire last night. Namdi Asomugha marries Olivia Pope, a.k.a. Kerry Washington. Supposedly, they got married back on June 24th. I didn't even know they were dating. And they got married somewhere in Idaho, supposedly. Like, who gets married in Idaho? What are your thoughts on that? Because we saw a lot of stuff.
I got a couple of thoughts. I mean, first off, yo, good job on them and keeping this in the wraps, because like you said, no one even knew they were dating, for one. For two, what I found very interesting, and we have a video you can check out on warroomsportstv.com. We talked about it. But, you know, just to give you a brief synopsis of what we talked about, I've never seen this much hate and vitriol towards Nnamdi. I mean, he played like cow dung the entire season, and there wasn't as much hate as when he announced who he married. It was kind of crazy. Like, on our Facebook page, even on Google+, Twitter, all throughout our social media networks, people were like, slandering Nnamdi. She's settling for him, and he's stupid. And I'm like, yo, Nnamdi came up. Like, what is that? I mean, he came up. Nnamdi came up. I mean,
you know,
his career.
The funny part is, to me, before Scandal started and everybody became a Scandal groupie, like, Kerry, you know, you hear a little bit of rumblings from dudes about Kerry Washington, but, you know, she wasn't like Halle Berry or somebody like that, the way people treat her. But it's like, you know, all of a sudden she has, like, one of the best shows on TV, and she goes up to, like, a dime piece plus for everybody out there. So Nnamdi, you know, not worthy, but they are, of course. But
listen, man, her stock went way up in everybody's eyes, man. And shout out to the people that chimed in from our video talking about she's not in my top five. And there's some people saying, like, yo, she is top five. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, but her stock definitely went up because of that role. I mean, they say every actor is looking for that one role to catapult them to somewhere else, and that's that role because, yo, chicks be acting like Olivia Pope is a real person. Yo, you've been online when the show's going on?
Yo, there's a few things that go on in this world where I have to get off of social media. One is when Scandal is on. Two is when the president is speaking. I mean, the president could be speaking, or it could just be like Michelle Obama just sitting in a crowd somewhere, and Twitter and Facebook will lose their minds talking about how beautiful she is. And three, ironically, one of those happened today when Jay-Z does anything in the news. You know, his album dropped on the Samsung app today, like this morning, and the male groupies have lost their ever-loving minds. Like,
dog,
I had to get off of social media. I can't take it.
I'm gonna get back to that. I'm gonna get back to that in a second. Real quick, with Kerry though, like real quick with Kerry though, like that's that role. You know, women literally want to be here, and at the end of the day, yo, she's a side piece, yo. But that's another story. yo, like my man Paulie said in the boxing match, like, yo, a couple weeks ago, man, that's my side piece. Yo, but the thing is, though, speaking of the Jay-Z album real quick, yo, you're right. When that dropped, I mean, and the thing is, it got bootlegs, so now not only do Samsung people have it, everybody has it at this point. It's out of control. Like, I'm not going to diss Jay-Z. I think the album is okay, but, like, some of the reaction. I heard people talking about it's a classic. And then someone asked him, like, well, what's your favorite track? Listen, the cat's like, yo, I ain't listened to it yet. How's it a classic then, B?
Wow. And how's something a classic after, like, 4 hours of listening to
it? Yo, it's a classic
after 4 hours. We'll get back to that. We plan to talk about that a little bit in depth. So right now, Jim, let everybody know who had a birthday this week in the world of sports.
Yeah, absolutely. And for everybody who don't know, one of the things we like to do is give birthday shout-outs on a weekly basis to people in the world of sports. And the birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Roll. What's up, Doc? From Alexandria Podiatry Associates, for the best and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and beyond. Visit www.alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Tell them War Room Sports sent you. Don't forget about that part. Now, the first birthday is one Neil O'Donnell. Neil O'Donnell turns 47. Happy birthday, good brother. Remember Neil O'Donnell?
Yeah, Neil O'Donnell. Neil O'Donnell played in a Super Bowl. I never thought he was a quote-unquote Super Bowl quarterback, but, hey, he could have got one, so...
Yo, here's the thing though. Neil O'Donnell played in the Super Bowl for the wrong team. He was throwing the ball. No, no. Anyway.
Yeah. He was point shaving.
He threw the ball to the wrong team. So, shout to Neil O'Donnell. Another birthday. Horace and Harvey Grant, birth tone 48. And you know, So they're twins, and we all know Horace and Harvey Grant.
Ho and High Grant? If you play video games,
Horace
you
Grant
know what we're talking about. Ho and High Grant.
Yeah, pretty much.
yeah,
imagine having a twin brother and y'all both make the league. Like, you know, why are there certain twins that have a – you never see a twin where the other one doesn't make it. Like, you had the Collins weren't – the Collins were twins. The Collins twins.
I think the Lopez twins, I think you can you can leverage that. Even if your brother's a bum, you know, if you're that good, you know, you can leverage that in the, okay, somebody got to put my brother on the roster or, you know, or I'm going overseas.
But another thing is this, though, Dev, you peep the twins, all the twins usually are like, you know, 6'10" and above. You never see like twin 6'2" guards go to the league. So that's another thing, too.
Speaking of Horace and Harvey Grant, like, and like one thing, like how would it feel if your brother went to the league and you didn't? But at the same time, how does Harvey feel that his brother got to play with Michael Jordan and won 3 championships and almost won? As a matter of fact, didn't he win one with the Lakers as well?
Yeah.
He also almost with Orlando, like four championships,
well.
And Harvey can't get it.
Remember, he came close in Orlando, too.
So he was just one of those pieces that people always added to championship teams. Hustle,
Harvey was tough, too, just never got in the right situation. But anyway.
I actually think Harvey had more to his game than Horace. But, you know,
But it's funny because I just finished reading that Phil Jackson book, and he was talking about Horace and how, you know, Horace was just like one of those guys who was very intelligent in terms of the game of basketball. Like, he wasn't the best physical specimen. He knew, like, spacing on the floor and he knew, you know, certain hustle plays. And, you know, so shout out to both of them on their birthday. They're 48. George Steinbrenner, rest in peace to the boss, you know, July 4th, 1930 to July 13th. You know, he passed a couple years ago. So, you know, another rest in peace shout out to another owner. Like, what's up with this, man? How about the fact that Al Davis was also born on July 4th? So George Steinbrenner and Al Davis both were born on July 4th.
A year apart.
Yeah, a year apart. That's crazy, right?
A lot of money on that birthday.
That's a lot of money on that birthday, man. So those are the birthdays.
My birthday! Yay!
We want to give a nice big war room salute to all these gentlemen on their birthdays. One quick comment. Jabari just chimed in. Shout out to Jabari. He's our attorney. He's like, you know, the best attorney on the East Coast. He says that, and I'm shocked he says this because Jabari is a huge Jay-Z fan. He said the album is not a classic. Wow.
Yeah. Well, at least not after a few hours. I mean, it could. You know, I'm not one to say that it might not turn
like,
into
I,
one.
I don't see how anybody can call anything a classic. Like, people see movies or even music or anything. Like, yo, that's a classic. I'm like, you can't. Classics, like, to me personally, regardless of whatever it is you're talking about, they stand the test of time.
They stand the test of time. So it kind of takes time to deem it a classic. All right, man. So I'm going to tell everybody how to get in touch with us before we have our guests on. So, Jimmy, you can watch that switchboard. You already know. All right, so, everybody, y'all know the drill, though. Check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about the company, our show, to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the blog tab to read our latest articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app, which is getting a total makeover and should be to you guys a little before or on August 1st. So watch out for that. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show weekly. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show like we usually do. To call in and speak with us, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. And another reminder, make sure you guys check out warroomsportstv.com. Check out our videos, our webcasts, and everything we're doing on the visual tip. So, Jim, you want to go get that?
You already know.
So, yeah, everybody, you know, we're we're doing things here. And today, as you know, if you follow our social media, wait a minute, I think we may have lost him. You know, we're having a guest today, former Redskins and Bengals safety Sam Shade is going to be with us in the war room today. We're just getting everything straight with the phone lines right now. But if you guys want to call in, or, well, the chat room, like we said, is open now. So if you guys want to get into the chat room and make any comments, and if you got any questions for Sam while he's on, you can go ahead in the chat room and do that right now. To go back to the whole Jay-Z thing real quick while Jimmy's out doing what he has to do. Yeah, like I was trying to explain, I'm not one to think that, you know, an album, and this particular album, because I haven't heard it yet, I'm not one to think that it can't be a classic. It's just ridiculous at how many people, you know, have listened to it one time and are already deeming it so. So that's all I was really trying to say, you know, about that whole thing. I'm not trying to sound like them and crap on anything that I haven't even heard yet. But all right,
yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah, it definitely is. So, like I just told you, on the line we have former Redskins and Bengals safety Sam Shade. He's also an assistant football coach down at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama, his hometown. So we're gonna get him in the war room for the first time. Sam, are you there?
I'm here, guys. I'm here, ready to roll.
What's going on? How are you?
Things are going well, man. I'm enjoying this 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to you guys. I hope you guys got some barbecue and stuff in there.
Yeah, we got some stuff waiting. I know you're down there on the grill, getting your grill
mask
on.
Yeah, I just got off the grill, man. I've been trying to, you know, beat the rain. It's been raining down here the past couple of days, so been trying to get it in while I could.
Cool.
Okay.
Cool. All right, well, let's get right into it because, you know, our listeners, you know, we got a lot of Redskins fans especially who listen to our show. So, you know, they've been waiting for you. So let's talk a little bit about your coaching. We know you're coaching the defensive backs down at Samford University. What made you decide to get into coaching, and how has your transition into the college level gone in the past 4 years?
Well, I tell you, man, it's funny how I got into coaching. I never thought I wanted to coach, number one. You know, I graduated from the University of Alabama with a finance degree, business finance degree, and, you know, thought I'd be one of those guys after football that would, you know, want to go out and, you know, start a business, make a lot of money. But along the way, after I finished playing with the Skins, wound up selling insurance, doing some real estate investing, and in between time, I was volunteer coaching at a local school here in Birmingham, and, you know, one of my buddies from college got me to do it, and, you know, I just realized that I was very passionate about coaching and mentoring young men.
Right. That's cool. Like you said, there's a lot of people that we talk to who they really try to stay away from going that route, but, you know, the game just kind of keeps on calling them. So if you can't play anymore, a lot of people just want to stay around the game in some capacity. But and helping out the young men, that's always a plus too. So.
And I tell you what happens, it's kind of like, you know, the longer you play the game, you know, I look at it, you know, myself being able to play, you know, 8 years before I had a neck injury, you know,
right.
I feel like I got a PhD in the game, you know, so
right.
You know, I've got all this knowledge and, you know, I'm able to give it to some of these young men that are, you know, when I was on the high school level and now on the college level. So, you know, it's kind of like you don't realize it, but you're kind of molding yourself to be a coach the longer you play.
No doubt. This is something that we've always wondered. We're always kind of interested in whether or not pro players have more than just a business relationship with the teams they play for. So we know you played 4 years in Cincinnati and 4 years in Washington. So which, if either team, do you root for now?
Well, I tell you what, people ask me that all the time, and I actually root for both teams. And especially you know, Cincinnati drafted me number one, so they were the ones that stuck their necks out there and, you know, took a chance on me. So I always, you know, have a certain love for that team because they took that chance. But the same thing with Washington, you know, they did the same thing when my contract was up in Cincinnati. You know, they called me up and, you know, I actually went through the free agency process. I visited St. Louis. I visited Philadelphia and visited Washington. I actually had a couple other visits with the Falcons and, the Giants, but I chose to go to Washington. So they chose me, and I chose them. So, you know, that makes that special also.
Well, factoring in the on-the-field and the off-the-field activities, which city did you enjoy playing in more?
Well, I tell you what, you know, I played at the University of Alabama, which is a very special place when it comes to college football and the mm-hmm. fans being passionate. And Washington was the closest thing I'd experienced to that. And that was one of my reasons for going to the Redskins, because I knew
right.
I knew about the tradition that, you know, the Redskins had. You know, Charlie Brown, who was a former receiver with the Skins, his nephew played with me at Alabama. And, you know, I used to go to Charlie's house and see all the memorabilia and stuff. So, you know, I knew that Washington was one of those places that, you know, I would get that feeling that I had in college.
Right, with a yeah. rabid fan base. Fan base is crazy.
Well, yeah. Kind of like, you know, being in Alabama, you know, in the offseason, you'll see Bama fans, and they'll say beat Auburn or whatever. And, you know, when I was
right.
in Washington, the Skins fans, they're hollering
beat
Cowboys. Dallas and his mate. Yeah, it's like March, and they're saying beat the Cowboys.
Yeah. Oh, and
hey, Sam,
Jimmy,
thanks again for coming on with us. But what you say, Dev?
No, I just wanted to tell him because somebody on our Facebook page made sure we told him roll Tide.
Oh, yeah. We always get that.
Well,
I didn't even ask you about
PTR also now.
Now, listen, are you born and raised in Alabama, Sam?
I sure am. Birmingham. Born and raised, Birmingham,
man,
Alabama.
You know, football is like religion down there, man. You know, it's kind of crazy. But you spoke about Washington. Speaking of your time in Washington, here's a question I have. What was it like to play on that fantasy team that Daniel Snyder put together around 2000? you had Deion Sanders, you had Bruce Smith, Daryl Green, yourself. Like, was that the most talented team you ever played for? What was it like to be around those guys?
That was by far the most talented team. We had three guys on our defense that are in the Hall of Fame right now. You know, Bruce Smith
mm-hmm.
and Daryl and Deion. You know, then you got Champ. He's probably going to go in. Champ Bailey's going to
go in. Oh, they did have Champ, too. Wow.
Yeah, Champ was on that team, too. Man.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy for me because here I was, a little fourth-round safety, and I'm out there starting with nine of the guys that were first-rounders that year on defense.
Oh my God.
And Sean Barber, we were the only guys that weren't first-rounders.
Man.
Yeah.
And you probably got a lot of work considering Deion was on the other side, right?
Oh, man, I tell you what, you know, it was crazy. And, you know, Daryl, you know, playing with Daryl was, you know, really special also. You know, playing with him, just kind of seeing his work ethic. And, you know, Deion came over. Deion wasn't as healthy as he had been earlier in his career, you know,
right.
during that time. So he really wasn't the same guy at that time.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Daryl, let's get back to Daryl Green a little bit. Because he's no doubt one of the greatest and probably the most beloved Redskin ever, you know, by all the Skins fans that I talk to and listen to, you know, being a resident of the area. So you spent, like, the last 4 years of your career, subsequently that was the last 4 years of his career as well, you know, that you guys played alongside each other. Was he as great as a teammate as we all would imagine him to be? I mean, I know you just started to say a little something, but
I'll tell you what, I try to tell these young guys all the time, you know, a lot of guys think that the great players, they're just great automatically, and they just automatically get there. But, you know, Daryl, when I got there, he was going into his 17th year, and he still worked as hard as anybody in the offseason. I mean, he would outrun you, he'd outwork you, and, you know, he really, you know, pushed guys to be better. And, you know, off the field, he was, you know, he was a great teammate. You know, not just, he was a great person, also a teammate.
Right. Yeah, because it was great. Like, Jimmy brought up that 2000 team. Daryl was still there, and he didn't even start on that team. And the Redskins was kind of like his team. You know, so he welcomed everybody into the city, wasn't starting on that team. And, you know, from what I know, you know, he never caused any ripples or anything. So, yeah.
No,
good thing.
No, he was the ultimate Redskin, I tell you, as far as just, you know, his leadership, you know, off the field, spiritually, and, you know, just helping out the young guys as much as he could. I mean, he'd pull guys to the side, and he'd give you a lot of words of wisdom. If he saw you kind of, you know, going to the left a little bit, he'd try to get you back on the straight and narrow.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's talk about somebody that the Redskins fans are already treating like he's Daryl Green. I mean, Skins Nation, they pretty much have lost their minds with the hope that RG3 has brought to D.C. I know that you studied and analyzed his game, so give us your breakdown of RG3. Is he the real deal, or what's your opinion?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, as a college coach, what we try to do, you know, we try to study the different trends in the offseason. We get a lot of NFL film, and what we've studied a lot this offseason, we've studied the Redskins' offense, and we've studied, like, San Fran's offense and Seattle's because of the quarterbacks being, you know, dual-threat guys. They can run and throw. But the thing that jumped out at me about watching RG3 was the fact that this guy, I mean, he has the ability to be one of the great passers in the NFL. I mean, he doesn't have to run the ball. I mean, he could sit back there like Dan Marino and not be able to run, and he would still do a great job of throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason I say that is because, you know, when I studied him, you know, I saw that. You know, he's got a quick release. He does a great job of, you know, reading the field and going through his progressions. I mean, he's far ahead of, you know, where most young guys would be right now.
Yeah, see, now that's one of the things that I was thinking. I think in the offense that they ran with him last year, I think they kind of coddled him a little bit, and I think he can do more in the passing game than they actually allowed him to show. And with him coming off another knee injury, I think this is the season where he's going to get an opportunity to prove a little more what he can do in the passing game. Because last year, the Redskins threw a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage. They would kind of lull you to sleep and then throw the ball deep. But when he did get to pass the ball, you know, mid-range, he seemed to be very accurate. He's definitely accurate on the run. And that run-pass threat just has a lot of defenses sweating. But I think this will be the year where he's going to have to prove that everything that we think about him, about his potential in the passing game, this is the year that he gets to prove that he can do that. So I'm interested in seeing that, you know.
Well, I tell you, I've studied enough tape. He definitely has all the tools to do it. He's got, you know, upstairs, he's very sharp. And like I said, I mean, he really, he looks like an older guy out there when you really study him. But I think the offense was kind of tailored to what he did when he was on the college level, you know, and I think they're going to have to probably start, you know, doing some things to not have him, you know, run the ball as much or be a run option as much as he's been because know that, hey, he won't last that long like that.
Especially if you read option, it's like Baltimore kind of gave everybody the blueprint, not of how to stop it, but – you know, they in the Super Bowl, what they did to Colin Kaepernick was kind of, you know, even if he doesn't have the ball, you still hit him. So it's not really stopping, you know, what they're trying to do, but it's making you think about whether or not you still want to continue to do that when your quarterback is getting hit on every play, even if he doesn't have the ball. And, you know, it's legal. If you're out there faking options, you know, they can hit you because they don't know if you have the ball or not. So
yeah, you don't want to take too many hits these days, not with how big and fast these guys are. And for those who are just tuning in, we're talking to former Washington Redskins safety and current Samford University assistant coach, Sam Shade. And, Sam, before we get you out of here, we've got to ask you about something that may affect you directly. We don't know if you're a part of the class action suit against NFL backs players, but it seems as if it's having a huge effect on the way games are called and how the league is legislated altogether. So the question I have is, how serious do you take this concussion issue, and do you agree that the suit is affecting the product the fans see on TV?
Well, I think it is affecting the product that the fans are seeing. But at the same time, you've got to, you know, understand the argument that the former players have. You know, a lot of people don't really understand, you know, what the argument is about. But basically, the former players feel like the NFL had knowledge, you know, years ago about, you know, concussions and the effects and, you know, how they needed to be treated as far as, you know, time missed from practice, time missed from games. And I know myself, when I was playing, I can remember being in Cincinnati and in Washington and, you know, being in situations where I'd hit a guy and, you know, I'd get up and my bell would be rung a little bit and, you know, I'd been knocked out and went right back in the game, you know, where the trainers just sent you right back in. You know, so part of that argument is now when that happens, you know, you're not sent back into the game because there's a process to deal with concussions now.
Right.
But, you know, back then the league had knowledge and they really didn't implement, you know, the process they needed to use to, you know, protect the players. And that's part of the argument.
So it's like the fact that they're doing it now is kind of reactionary to the suit, you know, because they could have done things like that back then when they had that knowledge, but they didn't do that. That's what you're kind of saying?
Exactly. And that's the argument. It's not, you know, some people say, well, you know, when guys signed up to play ball, you know, they knew they could get hurt or this and that could happen. Yes, we knew that as players, but, you know, when there's information out there, you know, telling you that, okay, you can do things to protect your players and to help their longevity as players and in their lives after football, and you don't do anything about it, that's where the argument comes up.
I know the way some of you guys think. You're like gladiators, like warriors out there. So, in essence, they needed to be protecting you guys from yourselves, because nobody's going to just sit out of a game when they think they can still go. But at the same time, as a league, you know, you're still supposed to be protecting players. So, you know, you can't just let a guy run back onto the field when he was just asleep 2 seconds ago. So, yeah, I get both sides.
And part of that, too, now, there's pressure, you know, to be able to go out and play. And, you know, I've seen coaches, you know, in the past say, you know, tell a guy, you know, hey, he might have had a concussion on Sunday. And I see that pressure to get that guy to go out and play the following Sunday. But, I saw that. But now, I mean, it's now you get a concussion and, you know, you're definitely going to be out the next week probably.
Yeah, I bet Alex Smith wish he could have played the week after he got hurt. And lost his job, didn't get to play in the Super Bowl. So, I understand both sides of the argument, though. But, yeah, something has to be done. Too bad it's a little bit to the detriment of the fans because, like Jimmy said, they're calling games differently. The league is being legislated differently. But, you know, at the same time, they have to protect themselves. They got a huge lawsuit in front of them, so they can't keep doing the same practices that got them in that situation in the first place. So.
Right, and I think the game's going to be fine. I think that the coaches now are teaching the game a little bit differently as far as defensive players hitting offensive players. So I really think the game's going to be fine. And, you know, you might not have all the big collisions that you used to have, but I think the game's going to be fine.
I think it's going to be fine because I don't believe one fan when they say, oh, I'm not going to be watching football in a few years. Like, yeah, right. Let me see you put that remote down. Like, I don't believe it. I'll believe that when I see it. But
go ahead, guys.
No, I was just before we get you out of here. Is there, you know, anywhere that people can get in touch with you on the internet? Are you on social media, Facebook, Twitter, anything like that?
Yeah, I am on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at Coach Sam Shade. And I'm also, you know, Facebook. Not on Instagram yet. I've got to get on there. That's the thing about college recruiting. You got to be on those deals. So you got to be able
to talk to those guys on their level and what they know. So
exactly.
All right. So yeah, I mean, we'll get the information from you offline and share it with everybody. But we just wanted to thank you definitely for your time, especially on a holiday. I know you're out there getting your grill on, and you gave us a few minutes of your time, so we're definitely grateful for that. Jimmy, you want to say anything before?
No, that's fine. Thanks again for coming on with us, man. We'll be watching your college team to see how you know how they progress, especially those cornerbacks.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've got one. I've got one player for the Saints right now.
Okay.
He was a fifth round draft pick for the Saints. Last year, actually, he's doing pretty well. He had a pretty good rookie year, so you know we're trying to put him out. You know, Cortland Finnegan, you know, he came out of Sanford, and we're trying to put some more out.
Okay,
that's good. All good
right.
To hear that.
Well, we definitely, you know, we'd love to have you back in the war room at another, you know, when something else happens.
During the season,
we'll give you a call, see if you want to come on and
Thanks,
give your
Sam.
Opinions about it.
All right, good deal, guys.
All right, man.
Take
happy Fourth.
You guys enjoy. Later.
All right. That's Sam Shade, everybody, former NFL safety for the Washington Redskins and the Cincinnati Bengals. Jimmy, that was interesting because, you know, every time we've spoken about the whole lawsuit against the NFL and the concussion issue, you know, we really haven't talked to any, you know, players about it. We talked a little bit about it with Herb Adderley when he was on a few years ago, and actually he was one of the leaders in the suit. So we did get that perspective, but this is the perspective of somebody who's retired, you know, a little more recently than a Herb Adderley. So it's good to get that perspective on the whole thing.
Absolutely. By the screen, yeah.
All right. So we're going to get into some hot topics real quick. And hot topics, as usual, brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. All right, so this Aaron Hernandez story, man, is starting to get a little bit out of hand. The Aaron Hernandez story is basically wacky at this point. We spoke to you guys last week about how he was just being charged with murder, and they were actually looking at him for a double murder in Boston the prior year. This week, you hear that they're actually looking at him, they're probing him about a shooting that happened back in 2007 in Gainesville, Florida, when he was a freshman at the University of Florida. Two guys in a car got shot, nobody died, and, you know, they're basically probing that situation to see if he may have had something to do with that. Because the guy actually described the assailant as a Hawaiian-looking dude. So, you know, people just throw stuff out there
The soldier dude.
Yo, so, yeah. Jimmy, like, something new happens every day with this case. Like, something else, and then he might be involved in this. He might be involved in that.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody, I forgot who it was, on Twitter, and I was telling them, I was like, yo, when me and B. Austin put out the video on Wolverine Sports TV about the Aaron Hernandez case, I was like, listen, the crazy part is we're just getting started. It's probably won't go to trial for another year. All kinds of stories are going to come out. So I can only imagine as they come out, I'm just sitting back like, yo, we had no idea who this guy was.
Right.
You know, now, at the end of the day, we still don't know all the facts, but more are coming out, and it's just crazy. Like, I'm at a loss for words, kind of, because this isn't real. This is like Law and Order. This is like some Dick Wolf type stuff. Like, this isn't real. Like, dude, from what we're seeing, was living two lives. He was an NFL player, but he was also a gang member that, like, you know, he was quick to let his ratchet off. Like, I don't even know what to say. Like, yo,
and if
dude,
this
dude
story,
like, put it like this, hey Dev, here it is. Dude is living life like Prodigy raps, because we know
exactly.
Prodigy is the toughest talking dude on the album. Yo, but dude is really living that life.
Exactly. Like, and if this case, you know, if this, what they're probing now, comes up and he has something to do with that, it's not just as an NFL player. He was living a double life back in the day when he was a freshman in college. That means he came into it, you know, like that. You said this was some Law and Order type stuff. It gets even worse than them probing him for these shootings. Man, somebody in his family, that the guy's name is Thaddeus Singleton III. He's the son-in-law of Hernandez's uncle. He had information on the case, and the police were trying to talk to him. Actually, I think he had already been cooperating with police and had spoken to him a couple of times. Out of the blue, this guy was killed in a car accident, a one-car automobile accident, where his car flew off the road and crashed into a pole. Now, they said the car that he was driving was owned by Hernandez's uncle, and the death was ruled an accident. But is it? Are we getting into like mob type levels now? Did his brakes get cut?
This is beyond.
How do you just fly off the road into a pole, man, for no reason?
Yo,
come on, man.
Hey, this is out of control, man. Like, yo, like, when did he find time to become a superior athlete? Am I saying?
Hey, don't
this,
they practice a lot in New England?
A lot of guys who live a life of crime, who they do it out of a sense of desperation. Now, some people do it because they think it's taboo and it's cute, but for the most part, many of them do it, you know, out of a feeling of being hopeless. Yo, you made it. You know how many criminals? You know how many criminals would give their life to, like, be, you know, play professional sports for a living, to play a child's game, and yet, like, once you got there, you still didn't know how to leave the streets alone. But, you know, with that being said, people who tweet me or send me Facebook messages and say, oh, man, he made it, like, you know, this, that, and the third. I mean, bad judgment is bad judgment. You know, having money doesn't get rid of that. But I'm talking about a life of crime. A life of crime is something different, man. Like, at some point you got to sit back and say, yo, I don't need to do this no more. And I can only imagine the rest of the stories that come out as this moves along. We'll probably have something to report on a weekly basis during this podcast because it's just that crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, before we move on, let's go to the Digital Extreme hotline. We got the homie Tobias calling in from Phoenix. What's up, bro? You in the war room?
Roll Tide. What's going on, fellas? Roll Tide, baby.
You already know.
Yeah.
Hey. Tobias.
We let Sam Shade know that, you know, that you told him Roll Tide on Facebook, so.
Appreciate that. Hey, that's how you know I'm a real fan. I know about Sam Shade back in them days. We weren't so hot back then. you know. But two quick things. First,
yes, sir.
I'm a Dodger fan. Hey, being from Alabama, we caught what was on TV.
Right,
you see a
right.
Quinch being an All-Star game. If you can have an Astro, a Cub, a Marlin, a White Sox player, they could be represented. He should be in the game, you know.
Yeah.
And also,
you're right.
That's a good point.
it was NBA free agency. Y'all know I'm a Bulls fan. And I'm going to say it like this. Derrick Rose, the way this front office is, Derrick Rose is going to be like KG was in Minnesota. Not
wow.
wanting to make a move, not wanting to make a trade. Because let's
might
be honest
help.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yo,
I'm a fan,
I mean, crazy,
but I'm a realist.
You have certain players that are asking to play there. But you
LaMarcus
know,
Aldridge.
But, yeah, he wanted to be a Bull. You know, that's, you know, but it didn't could work yourself out. But I don't know if they'll be as bad as Minnesota because you guys got one of the best coaches. Minnesota never had that.
Yeah, but it's like you can coach a butt off all you want. But if you only got one guy that can create offense, and we already know Miami likes a trap, and because people love talking about Dallas, whatever, the thing that beats Miami, you got to have multiple ball handlers. Cause remember, they might trap Kid, but J.J. Barea was killing them, and then Jason Terry would kill them. And the thing with the Bulls, you don't have to swing for the fences because not too many people get great free agents, because most of the time they stay with their team anyway, the great one.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So, let's be honest. I'm a fan, but Luol Deng ain't LeBron, and Joakim Noah ain't Shaq. Let's just be honest here.
Now, I heard things, if they were able to get a LaMarcus Aldridge, they would have to most likely give up Joakim Noah. Would you be willing to do that? I mean, because LaMarcus Aldridge is somebody who can create offense down on the block, but it's hard to replace the kind of hustle and leadership that you get from Noah. So that's a difficult decision to make. What would you do as a Bulls
fan? I don't know about that.
Give me the point. You get somebody, you're going to have to give up somebody. And one,
right.
LaMarcus Aldridge is also more durable than Joakim Noah. He has bad feet. And also, let's be real, he does play hard. He hustles. One of my old high school coach said the players who play hard can't shoot. That's why they hustle. But
they're definitely making up from a lack of a skill set. So, you know, hustle is what they hang their hats on. Joakim Noah has actually done something. Yeah, he's done some things in the league, though, that I didn't think he'd be able to do. Like, there's some nights, not consistent nights, where he has, like, a monster stat line that, had you told me in Florida, you know, he would be able to get that. I probably would have called you stupid and slapped you in your head. So it's like once in a while with him, like he shows you something that you just didn't think he had. But like you said, he got the bad feet and just straight up, LaMarcus Aldridge, in my opinion, is a better player, more polished player. But like I said, it's hard to replace that hustle that
Yo,
Noah gives.
We saw LaMarcus Aldridge play live for this past season. Remember, Devin? He was like,
yo, he scored so easily.
He scored so easily. It's like, yo, this dude is amazing. Like, the fact of the matter is he's playing out there in Portland, and nobody really cares about that. If he was on a different team, he would get a lot more pub because he's that good.
That game we went to, he just seemed so on the flow, and then you look up, and he has 30 points. And you're like, how the hell did he get 30 points?
He's consistent.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. See, I love Noah's heart and energy.
Mm-hmm.
But problem is, if he gets 15 points, we want to throw a ticker tape parade. Now, I know the center position may be hurting a bit, but sometimes you may have to make a move. Hell, I'm sorry, Shaq got traded. There have been great players, Hall of Fame players that have been traded. Sometimes you may have to make that move because, I'll say this real quick, Derrick Rose, I think he got 4 more years on his contract. 4 years will come up real quick. And they still sitting on their hands, he may leave.
Well, first
he has
off,
every
first
right
off,
to.
First off, Derrick Rose got to come back. That's the first thing. But, Tobias, let me bring this up, man. And shout out to Jetty Mar in our chat room. Jetty Mar says that Tibbs doesn't get along with the GM. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but, you know, from what they're saying, in our chat room, that's a contentious relationship. So,
Derrick Rose got a 2000-2001 Allen Iverson situation on his hand. Like, you can't, like, you talk about the talent level of the rest of the guys, but you can't really knock those guys because they play hard and they play a style of basketball, an unselfish style of basketball where one person is doing most of the offensive work and nobody else is getting mad. So that's a good team to put around them, but you still need another piece to get over that hump. You can't have one man trying to do all the scoring. I like Luol Deng, but I do get what Bulls fans are saying. Like, I think the Chicago Bulls try to make us hold Luol Deng in a higher regard than we really should. So it looked like they're doing the right thing. So it's a tricky situation. But like Jimmy said, we gotta get Rose back on the court first before we start dogging everybody.
He'll be back. Don't worry. Hey, don't worry. He'll be back. They got a preseason game in Brazil. They got a preseason game in Brazil. He's gonna be there for that one.
May be there. He may be there in body, but I don't know about him playing on the court. He may not want to play that game. He might want to get out.
You might be busy.
Hey, Derrick will be on the beach. But what I know a lot of people say, well, we're close, but you may only have a short window because look, Derrick got injured, pretty much missed 2 playoffs. Miami, you see how they go for it, cause all that needs LeBron to tear his ACL or something, God forbid. But a lot of teams are one injury away from their windows being closed because you got all these ups like Brooklyn. Yeah, they got old. But they made a move, they swung for the fences.
That's why a lot of teams are afraid to build. They want to grab people and try to do it now because they know that nothing's ever guaranteed. So you got to go for it.
And let's be honest, the draft, you got to hope someone is good. And let's be honest, potential gets people fired. The problem with the draft is people, you got to hope this guy does well. And you may have to wait around in the NBA. Now, you win 55 games. You're out the door because they want to do analytics,
things change. I mean, the thing is, sabermetrics is in. And also the situation where the guys that used to have an immediate impact as soon as you draft them, those days are kind of gone for a lot of reasons that we can go into for hours. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to put it all together. You guys got the coach. You got to hope Derrick Rose comes back first. So you guys are close but still far away at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm almost done, but can I say this real quick? Lakers fans, don't be mad. Let Dwight go. He is the best center in the league by default. You cannot call him an all-time great if he doesn't get double-teamed. No one does. Hey, that probably put me on him. He can't score. How you been in the league 10 years? You ain't developed an offensive game. Rory Hibbert developed his game. Mark Gasol developed his game. But this guy, he's offensively bankrupt. But, hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, roll tide.
Right, thanks, Tobias. Roll tide. Roll damn tide.
All right, Tobias, take it easy, homie.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. But at the same time, Dwight, I don't know. I think he might be in a weight room too much because he's so diesel that he's too
stiff to
have a fluid offensive game.
The game of basketball has completely had a paradigm shift. People say there's no players with a back-to-the-basket game. And a lot of that is because of the way the game is played now, with being able to play zone, with no hand checking. The game has changed, so it's their fault, but it's also not their fault because you're kind of at a detriment when you're playing with your back to the basket. Like if you're a Pau Gasol trying to throw it in and get that, the game has completely changed, and Dwight is athletic. And these days, sometimes that's all you need to be. There are not a lot of players in the league in general. I'm talking about in every position who are very skilled, but there are a lot of uber athletes in the NBA. So that's the way the game is played now. But
all right,
before
we get deep into basketball, I got one more story. Actually, it's another one about our homie Jigga. Jay-Z, in his new song Crown, he took a shot at Scott Boras. And if you, you know, if you're a sports fan and you know who Scott Boras is, he's basically the greatest agent in the history of Major League Baseball. So in the song, the lyrics say, Scott Boras, you over, baby. Robinson Cano, you coming with me. What's up with that? Like, is that even necessary? Like, you kind of get one client from Scott Boras's illustrious roster, and you're bringing him into the world of hip hop, and you're dissing him in your track.
Here's the thing: I look at this in a lot of ways. I heard the song. It's one of those things where this album, the one thing I can give him credit for is he didn't sell too many drugs, so he's kind of rapping about what's going on in his life. At this time, so there's a lot of songs about his daughter, and you know, he's talking about being an agent. So.
What did Scott Boras deserve a shot, though?
He's in the way, man. And you know the crazy part? That line will probably help him get clients because a lot of these kids love that kind of stuff.
You're definitely right about that. Because
I am over problem with him dissing Harry Belafonte. He dissing Harry Belafonte in the song, too. I'm like, you know.
Oh,
he's
probably mad
because
Harry came at him and Beyonce one time, so.
Yeah,
he's not going to let that slide.
There's
not really a respect
factor
there when it comes to Jay.
He sent a shot to Lil Wayne 2.5 years later, so, you know, I guess he waits to address his beef when he drops an album. So
I send shots to Lil Wayne weekly on this program, so I'm not mad at that. It's just a situation that's kind of like, yo, Scott Boras is Scott Boras right now. Like, you just got into this, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like a slow down a little bit type thing. I can understand him being in the way, but you can't take one dude from Scott Boras and have your chest all puffed out. So it's like, you know.
Hey, listen, man.
Just slow down a little
bit. That's
hip-hop, though.
That's hip-hop. You remember, when we came up with hip-hop, they had one song out and called themselves the greatest. Scott Boras is not in hip-hop, but, you know.
But the point you made,
that
was a great point. There's so many, you know. So many young cats out there who are so easily influenced, that line may go a long way, like you said, into, you know, people choosing Roc Nation Sports over Scott Boras' agency. You know, he threw a shot at him. He's a little more confident than Scott Boras right now. That's Jay. I was about to say Jigga, but these young boys don't know Jigga. That's Hove. You know what I mean? I'm going with Hove.
Call that man Hove. They got to cut that Hove nonsense.
Yeah, exactly.
Jetty Moore says, so if you're a big-time player, who would you want to negotiate your contract, Boras or Jay-Z? It's a funny question, but at the end of the day, Jay-Z's not negotiating nothing. He has CAA behind him.
Yeah,
Jay-Z's
exactly.
Jay-Z is out there. He's just a figurehead. He's just bringing people to the table to let the actual agents, you know, do their job.
Jay's been the figurehead for the last 30 deals he's made. And, like you said, it works for him because it helps his brand, you know, at the same time, because there's a lot of lost dudes out there who will believe anything Jay says. And
hey, some people, like one thing I give him credit for is some people don't even recognize how to leverage their brand, and he's recognized how to do so. Because there are a lot of artists
once you become an icon,
here's the thing, though.
Put my name on peanut butter. I ain't got to go make peanut butter.
What the people have to look at is the audience he's targeting. They came up with him, you know, so being a quote-unquote king of rap, and this is the kind of stuff they love. So if I'm coming out of school and you're telling me that, you know, I'm going to Scott Boras, they're going to start spitting those lyrics at you.
The thing is, these
young kids are very impressionable. I mean, they just are. They're very impressionable you know, it's part of his business model.
Jimmy, are
you know,
they?
I think
see
be
dudes
funny.
Scoring touchdowns and throwing up the Delta sign like they in the sorority. Like, because they saw Jay do it. Like, you're not a part of that. Like, why are you doing that? So they're very impressionable. Like
the greatest thing ever would be if Scott Boras responded in a diss track. Yo, that'd be the greatest thing in life. That would be hilarious. Yeah. Scott Boras should pay a ghostwriter. But anyway,
man, stop wearing jerseys. Y'all was loving jerseys. They said stop.
Were they? I mean, yeah.
Y'all ain't drinking Cristal no more. It was nasty from the start. You only drank it because he told you to. But when he says stop, they probably was like, whew, I really couldn't afford that anyway. It's crazy, man. I'm telling you, if Jay tell these young boys that it's cool to slap their mamas, there's going to be a lot of news stories about people. So I'm like you. I give a brother props for leveraging his name, leveraging his brand, and having some kind of blind influence over people that I can't explain. Like, he got, like, great-great-great-grandsons walking around out here. Kudos.
Yeah, I mean,
I ain't calling you
one of those things
kudos.
Where I always wonder, like, where would he be in terms of influence if Biggie and Pac never were murdered? He probably has something to do with it. But anyway, I'm just joking, but no, I'm not. But at the end of the day, man, it is what it is. It's not just him. It's the society we live in. You know, everybody's a hero. Everybody's loved. Because his lady's fans might be worse than his, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, yo, Beyonce's fans will rumble you, yo. I'm not even
Queen
joking.
Queen B. Don't talk about Queen
and
B.
You know, everybody.
But look, everybody.
Is a, you know, icon.
Check out our website at worldroomsports.com to call in and speak to us about any of today's topics, including Jay-Z, Hov, Jigga. Dial a Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. What's going on in that
Absolutely.
National Basketball Association, Jim?
Yeah, NBA Player Movement Central is where we at now, baby. And this NBA Talk is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, or your Palm phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. And that's right, I did say BlackBerry and Palm phone. Hopefully you don't have one of those, but if you do, you can still listen to our show. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room, that's one word. When asked for a coupon code, remember, use The War Room. One word again, T-H-E-W-A-R-R-O-O-M. It will enter you to a contest to win millions and millions of money. Now, let's talk some basketball.
Screen team, Dan Patrick.
You already know. And by the way, I have to say this every time that intro comes in for basketball, that Curtis Blow is highly overrated. I don't care what none of you say. Because that whole and all that nonsense is you know, it's kind of garbage. There's a lot of movement going on in free agency. It seems as though everyone is just talking about Dwight Howard and what's going on with him, but you've had trades. It's funny because this draft that just passed, this basketball draft, coming into the draft, everybody thought it would be a dud, but there's a couple things at play here. The fact is this past draft had so many trades, so much movement, and also social media – makes live events, like, so much more entertaining. And this draft was one of those occasions. Like, Twitter was completely hilarious during the draft. But
hey,
also,
yo, plus, for the first
30
minutes, we were on the air. So that was hilarious.
Yeah. Yo, it was crazy. But and also, all the movement. Like, I don't remember a recent draft with this much trading. But the
you
one thing
why?
I didn't like about it was that.
No, I was saying because, you know, we were all saying that the draft was kind of weak going into it. So instead of everybody getting stuck with these picks, you know, everybody wanted to make some moves, make some trades.
Yeah, but it was crazy. The one thing I didn't like about how that went down was the league wanted final approval of everything. So they announced them, but they didn't announce them at the place. It was kind of weird. And I think that's the league just covering their butt since they, like, you know, negated that Chris Paul trade. Now they want to act like they review everything. When before, yo, Cat got traded. Within 2 seconds, they, like, the commissioner was on stage announcing it. Yeah, now all of a sudden they want to review everything. Come on, man. FOH, man. You sent Chris and Cliff over to the Clippers. We know what it is. That being said, man, we're going to get into some of this talk. But before we do, let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech Hotlines. We got Jay calling in from Jersey. Jay, what's really good?
Been a long time, bro.
What's going on, fellas?
What's going on?
What's going on? I'm cooling, I've been tuning in here and there, you know, listening. I just, you know, been going through some things, so I keep my opinions to myself. But I've been on, you know, on Facebook, following you on Facebook, and I know today's topic was going to be Dwight, D12.
Mm-hmm. Your comments about Dwight, I know you got an opinion about Dwight, though.
yeah. Listen. I'm gonna keep it clean. I'm gonna keep it PG-13 because you know I'm watching the NBA now, man, and it's really to the point where I love ball. Ball is my life. Ball is my passion. Before I blew my knees, you know what I mean? But
right. Yeah,
I just don't like watching it no more. Man, I'd rather watch college ball where there's more heart into the game than NBA. I think NBA now became too prima donna. Like I hate LeBron. I love his skills, but I hate LeBron because He's a female dog, you feel me? Like, at the end of the day, he gets fouled, he cries, he lays down on the ground, cries, shrugs his hands at the rest, but then as soon as the team misses and they get the ball back, he gets up asking for the ball like, I'm right here. You know what I mean? Like, he'll cry, baby. I'm not fooling him. Like, he cried to go to Miami because he couldn't be a man and stay in zone two and win the championship in Cleveland. I never seen Jordan, Magic, Bird, Hakeem, Drexler, anybody in the dream team say, yo, hey, listen, what's good? Let's get together. Let's make a team so we can win for 6 years in a row. You know what I'm saying? I'm the type of dude that when I got the link, you know, to Lancaster from Jersey, I met some cats in the court, and I love playing against competition. So, you know what I mean? It was like, I was trying to go at the dudes that had a game. I wasn't trying to play with you. I was trying to come at you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, respect.
And that's always been my mind state. Like, I don't respect this game. Now, D12, man, is a bigger crybaby. Because he got, like, this whole one life to live, all my children soap opera going on, where he claimed about going to L.A. Then you want to go to New York. Then you want to go here. Then you want to go to Brooklyn. Now they're saying he probably go to Atlanta. But now CP signed. So now I doubt he's going to Atlanta. So now maybe Golden State got a chance. He asking people in Houston, who you going to go get after me? You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, my man, listen, if you that nice, put it all on the floor. Get your chip without three dudes next to you or two more dudes next to you. Like, Dan B. Lance's appeal.
Yeah, I
agree.
Yeah.
But Jay, here's the thing about it, man. This is the funny thing about the NBA or sports in general. And I always say this, that sports is a microcosm of society, man. So, like, the game has completely changed. The product, to be honest with you, is terrible, yo. It's to the point now where I don't even think I'm getting the NBA pass this upcoming season. Because what's the point? All the good games come on TNT anyway. And even those games aren't good half the time. Most of the playoffs was whack. The finals was weak, if you really want to get down to it. I mean, it ended up going seven games, but, like, half of them was blowouts. So the product is definitely down. But it's a microcosm of society, man. We live in a society where guys aren't as competitive. They've been teammates since AAU, so they grow up as, like, close friends. There's never that whole thing where, you know, when you were younger, right, if you were from a neighborhood and you went to the other neighborhood, you knew who the top ballers were. Yeah, and y'all had to go against each other. But now these dudes, because of AAU and a lot of other things, are teammates since they're kids. They've already had a relationship. So when they get to the league, it's like, now you see it now. I remember coming up, yo, if you found somebody, you didn't even pick them up. Now these dudes are picking each other up, and it's just crazy.
These cats want to be the Wonder Twins on the Justice League. Remember them, the Wonder Twins, actively? These cats want to, like, make, you know what I'm saying? They want to make things happen together, man. I'm not feeling it, because remember when y'all was talking back from 2 years ago, when before the LeBron decision, we was talking about how some teams are going to get rescinded from the league, they're going to retract some teams. Yo, pretty soon, if it keep going like this, to be real with you, it's only going to be about eight teams in the league. It's going to be New York, Miami, L.A., probably, you know, one of the Texas teams. You know what I'm saying? It ain't too many markets that are big markets. So they going to just make these teams in the big markets, and that's it. Because every nigga want, I mean, my bad with the, and, you know, my bad on that. Every dude want to be on here. You want to have four cast of the superstars on one team. You feel me? So if you look at it, you're only going to have eight teams in contention. You feel me? It's become trash.
Sometimes the thing is, as long as the fans still continue to support the way they do, nothing will ever change. But the product keeps declining like this. People may stop supporting the same way they do, and it could change, man. Sometimes it has to take a complete fall. But I agree with you. Overall, the product is down. But I think it's that way in every sport. It's like I grew up loving baseball. I try to watch baseball now, and I can't even get through a game. I'm going to be honest. I can't get through a game.
Like Jay just said, though, like, we should be talking about contraction, but, you know, there's so much money in sports now. There's no way that they would look at that because, you know, there's no way they want to take away any money out of the pot. But if we're looking at, you know, competition, like you said, in a few years, you know, it might not be eight teams in the league, but it's only going to be, you know, eight teams, maybe six, seven, eight teams that we want to watch because everybody's playing together on the same team. So, you know, at that point, we're not going to mind if they take it back to the Bill Russell days because you're going to get better games. But when
yeah,
you got certain teams that can't attract any players and, you know, you got to play them on your schedule four times a year, nobody wants to see that.
But you know what, though? It's a couple things, Jay. It's like free agency started years ago, but it kind of changed the game. It's one of those things. When free agency first started, for the first 10 years, most players still never left their team. They use it to negotiate higher contracts. But if you look back at free agency when it first started, no one generally left their team anyway. But after several years of having free agency, it started to really take place. Like, the change was made years ago, but now you're seeing the effects of it. This is what they didn't want. So you're seeing free agency. You're seeing the whole AAU thing. You're seeing a society where everyone is looking for a hero. And when guys show any sort of talent when they're kids, I mean – they're already being, like, looked at. We saw, me and Dev were talking this past week and how they were promoting D-Wade's son. D-Wade's son is, like, in fifth grade or something like that, but they already have him ranked as one of the top fifth graders. When they start keeping fifth grade lists? But at the end of the day, this is a part of this society we live in. They're going to promote this guy and build him up. So, I mean, the cycle continues, but there's a lot of reasons. Free agency, AAU ball, the amount of money that's being paid. Yo, you got guys, and we're going to talk about
expansion.
This in a couple of seconds.
Expansion.
You know, expansion. It's all kind of reasons, but it's all coming together for one thing, and that's, you know, corporations are ruining basketball the same way they did music and art. And I can go on for days about that, Jay. But, man, thanks for your call, man. We appreciate it, man. And keep in tune with us, yo.
So no more. I'm going to stay online.
All right,
homie.
All right. We got there, man. We're talking.
All right, easy. Easy. Yeah, man, and Jay brings up a good point, man. And speaking of, like, people getting, you know, contracts, let's get into some of this stuff. Well, first off, before we do, let's go back to, you know, the hometown guy, Drew Holiday. He was traded on draft night, and when it first went down, the reports were incorrect, saying that the Sixers gave up Drew and a first-round pick for Nerlens Noel. And shout-out to Shizzy the King out there, because Shizzy the King says he's never met anyone on Earth named Nerlens. He just still doesn't know what a Nerlens is. Anyway.
Sound like a wizard.
What ended up happening was the Sixers, you know, getting the first-round pick as well as the Nerlens Noel pick. And, you know, the Pelicans making a run at Drew Holiday. So after
Bye,
that, it kind of looked different. They kind of changed the trade. It went from being what to like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing. So, Dad,
yeah.
what do you think about the trade overall?
Exactly how you just said it, because remember, you reported it to me, you know, before the world knew about it, and that's the way that, you know, you got it from the source, and I wasn't feeling that at all. But once they made the trade and everybody got the, you know, the principles in the trade straightened out, you know, even if you're a Drew Holiday fan, you know, and you're a diehard Sixers fan, because I know a lot of people who are still up in arms about it, but they have to think about it from this perspective here. Drew Holiday, young, talented player. At the same time, Drew Holiday is really your only tradable commodity. I mean, there's some people on the Sixers that people will take, maybe a Thaddeus Young, you know, maybe still a Evan Turner because he still has time to stop being garbage. But Drew is your real only tradable commodity where you're actually going to get something of value back, you know, right here, right now. So if you're a team that's really not going anywhere because the team that they had, the roster that they had last year was built specifically around Andrew Bynum. You know, they brought in Wright, they brought in Richardson, they brought in Nick Young. The common denominator in that is shooters. They expected to have a big man down there getting double teams, you know, kicking out to shooters, and the Sixers being a much better team than they ended up being. Okay, dream deferred, that didn't happen. The only guy you have left of some value is Drew Holiday. You have to make a move. Like you said, Jimmy, in the video we made, you have to destroy and rebuild. You have to sometimes take a step back in order to get better. And I think the trade was pretty good because, you know, immediately after they made the trade, they used their pick on a point guard who has the potential to be pretty good in the league. Even if he comes in now and he doesn't get either the minutes or he's just not as good as he's supposed to be right away, you still have Evan Turner there who can handle the ball, who is actually a better player when handling the ball. So you don't have Jrue Holiday. You know, it's never a great situation when your point guard is your leading scorer anyway. So you get rid of Jrue. Most likely they're taking that step back to be able to stink next year and get a lottery pick of their own. They get the top five protected pick from the Pelicans. So in essence, you know, if the Sixers are bad enough, their pick could wind up somewhere in the top five, and then you could have another pick that's five or above in the lottery. So next year's lottery is supposed to have a lot more talent in it. So it's good to have two first-round picks in that. You get Nerlens Noel, who by all accounts was consensus first, the number one pick in the draft. A lot of people backed off of him because of his knee problems. If he comes back healthy, you know, and he can be the player that people projected him to be, then, you know, this is a gamble that's worth taking. The Sixers could come out, you know, really good in this with the $11 million in cap space that they got by getting rid of Jrue, with the $16 million in cap space that's freed up by Andrew Bynum leaving town. I get it. There's not a lot of superstars that you're going to lure to Philly, but if Sam Hinkie is smart enough, it doesn't have to be a superstar-driven, you know, it doesn't have to be all superstars that you go after to fill this cap room. You know, he can add good pieces and just build the team into something solid that we can look at in maybe 2 years and say, okay, we might have something here. So I'm cool with it. I know I'm a little long-winded with it, but you know, when we made the video for the radio station, I didn't get to go in on the topic. So, you know.
Yeah, it's all good because, you know, it had to be said. And I just want people to know that this upcoming season, forget about it because, you know, it's going to be some bad basketball. It's all about 2015 with this team right now, yo. I'm just keeping it a bean because it's going to be some bad basketball out here now. But sometimes, like you said, destroy and rebuild, take a step backwards to move forward. You know what I mean? And at the end of the day, I don't know what other option they had. You know what I'm saying? Who's going to really come as a free agent now? You know what I mean? By the way, shout out to Glass at Get With The Sports. He just sent me a tweet, said, Nerlens needs to eat more Southern cooking and gain some weight. He's just saying, you know.
Yeah, he's a little frail.
So Nerlens is like 7 foot tall. He's like a 150, yo.
New point guard, you know, Livingston all over again. And Livingston was talented. He was just frail.
Here's the funny thing. Jenny Meyer makes a good point, too, because everybody was saying, man, the Pelicans going to stink. And Jenny Meyer said in our chat room, the Pelicans trying to win. He's right. They got an offer for Rico on the table, and, you know.
That's the thing. We're expecting and we're hoping that pick could be as close to five as possible, but like you said, the Pelicans are trying to win some games. Like,
they're trying to win some games because, you know, they got Jrue.
Might
they
be
got
a little
Doxa.
Disappointing.
I mean, you know, it looks like they're trying
Pelicans
to make a run for it. They almost had Iggy, but we'll get to that in a minute. But
he said Nerlens will love cheesesteaks, but the team is going to love
better,
sending them to the cheesesteak shop.
He definitely got to put some weight on, man. He got to get his weight up, man. Shout out to Kyrie in the chat room because Al Jefferson. Go ahead.
No, I said the Sixers always have coveted Josh Smith from the Falcons, from the Hawks.
Oh, they've been in love with him for like 10 years.
I don't know what the new regime is feeling, but this would probably be a good time to make a run at him if he hadn't signed somewhere already, because I haven't been on the wire.
What you think about this? Holiday, Gordon, Tariq Anderson, and Davis. That's not bad. I think they said they're going to bring Reek off the bench, though. They said they're trying to make him into a six-man. He said he's okay with that. You know, but anyway, I was saying shout out to Kyrie in the chat room because he's the only person alive that likes Utah Jazz, and they just lost Al Jefferson. Who
might not want Tariq to play at home. Oh, well, he's
Al
talking
Jefferson
about out there. He's talking about out in Pelican land.
Yeah, but listen to this, though. Al Jefferson signed with the Bobcats, though. So I was laughing about this because I was talking to Brandon on Sports and Sports Track Radio. He says, yo, Al Jefferson doesn't like to win, yo.
Yeah, I mean, sure it doesn't.
He liked that money. He saw that money on the table. He left to go sign with the Bobcats.
Mike offered him three Jordans for life.
Yo, he wouldn't rob Mike Blonde, yo. So now the Jazz will stink. But anyway, let's talk some more moves. Before Chris Paul stays put, got 5 years, $107 million. That was no surprise enough they got Doc Rivers.
I guess we can thank Doc Rivers for that. You know, greatest coach
yeah.
ever.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I know I hear your sarcasm, but it is what it is. The players love him. 5 years,
yeah.
$107 million. He got to split that with Cliff. Dwight Howard sweepstakes.
They need to split that with a good barber.
Yeah, you need to get a barber about $27 million for cuts because their haircuts are trash. Anyway, Dwight Howard, you know, now they're talking about is down to Houston, Dallas, and L.A. The Warriors are still trying to make a move and move some pieces. But at the end of the day, man, Dwight Howard said he's going to make his mind up by tomorrow. What's your opinion of this whole thing?
Well, Jay, when he called in, he mentioned some of this. You know, first of all, Dwight, you know, when he was down in Houston, he's asking them, you know, if I sign here, do you have the money to sign another superstar? I mean, first of all, I know Jeremy Lin, like, damn, dude, like, what about me? But I digress. Look, Dwight, he's in a situation where, just like Jay said and a lot of other people say, he's kind of being coveted like this by default because the league lacks, you know, quality big men. He's still a great player, you know, even though his offensive game hasn't developed like it probably should have. He's still a great player. You know, I think people are more turned off by, you know, his character traits that he's shown over the past 2 or 3 years. But at the same time, like Houston, you know, people are making pitches for this dude kind of like, you know, when LeBron was a free agent. They bought out, you know, they had Yao Ming on, like, Skype. They had Dikembe who did a video like a video recording for him to ask him to come to town. They brought in Lajuan, I think maybe Trent was there. They brought out all the big guns to try to pitch to him, and the Lakers kind of did the same thing, but they didn't make it such a big presentation. They brought in Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash, but by all accounts, Kobe wasn't there kissing his butt like everybody in Houston was doing. Kobe kind of told him, you need us as much as we need you. If you stay here, I'll teach you how to be a champion. There's a lot for Dwight to look at in this situation because, you know, the money is there in L.A. The tradition is there. The history is there. But at the same time, he doesn't like the offense that they're running. And I asked you a couple weeks ago, Jimmy, like if he decided to stay there, but his one condition was like, look, we got to switch coaches, what do you think the Lakers would do?
All right, here's my thing, right? The pressure is also there, and we know that Dwight Howard is rather Trez Vanny. I wonder if he didn't handle the situation in the past couple of years the way he did, whether he would be criticized if he was just, like, genuinely coming up as a free agent. But he botched that so bad that he changed his entire image. But the thing about the coach, yo, I don't even know if he dislikes the coach. I don't even know if he dislikes D'Antoni. I think that was an easy way for him to try to get out of L.A. without looking like the bad guy because all Lakers fans, when they complain, they all complain about the coach. So for him, it's an easy out. Yo, I don't like the coach. I think he just jumped onto that. I don't even know if that's necessarily the truth. I mean, we all know how D'Antoni feels about big men. D'Antoni doesn't like to play, you know, feed the post. But
I mean, I'm
like,
pretty
like
sure.
Like Kenny Marr just said in our chat room, they'd be paying three coaches. Now, I did do some research because last week I made a statement saying that the Lakers still had to play Mike Brown, and I was correct. But because he got the way his contract was, because he got another job, they only have to pay him a portion of that, and the new team has to pay him
the
rest
thing.
Of it, whatever. So, but they still have to. They're still paying him though. They have to pay Mike Brown. If they got rid of D'Antoni, they have to pay him and whatever coach they replaced him with.
Still paying Dell Harris, but I think it does have a little bit to do with the coach. I mean, because you are running a system that like ignores this dude. Of course, I think it has a little bit to do with Kobe Bryant and the fact that Kobe just announced that he's still trying to play for another 3 years, probably not helping the case whatsoever.
He should have kept that to himself.
Because if they're going to keep promising Dwight the keys to the car, and then Kobe's going to keep saying, well, you know, I'm a drive to the next city, you know, and then I'm a drive to the next city, and then I'm going to keep driving to the next city. He's probably really not trying to hit. I don't think he's, like, hell bent on not playing with Kobe, but probably, you know, going into it thinking, okay, I only got maybe one, 2 more years of this, and then it's mine. But then you think about his characteristics and how Trezvanny he is, and you wonder if he even wants a team to beat him. You know what I'm saying? Because he's. He's a man with sensitivity. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, man. Like, yo, man. He's definitely very Trezvanny, man. Very Trezvanny. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know whether L.A. is even a good fit for him because, like we always say, man, L.A., man, you know, it's not about making the playoffs. And I heard that Houston was even saying that, like, yo, there's more pressure there. Like, how are you using that as a way to pitch to somebody to come play for you?
I tell them, there's no pressure here in Houston. We don't expect nothing.
Yeah, like, what is that? Like, how do you even do that? But, I mean, you know, it is what it is, man. It is. We shall see
that's
what
right,
happens.
That's right.
I know
you
what
know
he
what I'm
does.
Saying that pitch, you say, what kind of pitch is that? But for a dude like that, they know what they're working with.
The thing about it is, man, the Lakers, if they don't get Dwight, yo, I look at that roster, and I'm like, yo, you talk about rebuilding. Put it like this, if the Lakers don't get Dwight, the Sixers are in better shape than the Lakers. You know. Let me ask you a question about this. Jenny Mar brought it up in our chat room just now, and people have said it on our Facebook page, too. Do you think the Lakers would ever consider amnesty in Kobe?
I don't think they would.
Business-wise, I understand the whole loyalty thing and all that, but business-wise, wouldn't it make sense?
I mean, he's making a whole lot of money.
But
at the same time, it's not like he's making a whole lot of money and not performing, you know, on that level. It's not like he's Rashard Lewis. That's the name of Rashard Lewis, who was the second highest paid player in the league his last year in Washington and averaged 4 points a game. So, you know, you're still getting 26, 27 points a game from Kobe, you know, at
this
age.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in terms of competing for a title, him getting 26, 27, you're going to be the eighth seed in the West and you're not really going anywhere. Like,
I think that might be a little bit of an aberration. Either it's an aberration or that team is just too old and they're running the wrong system because you bring that very same bunch back next year, I don't see them being the eighth seed, you know, because I never saw them being the eighth seed in the first
season. I'm saying now if Dwight doesn't come back and you're stuck out there with, like, Kobe, a 40-year-old Steve Nash, you know, Meta World Peace is getting up there, Earl Clark left.
Then you just blow it up.
Earl Clark actually, towards the end, he started contributing. He just took a payday, too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, He went to the Cavs.
Earl Clark signed with the Cavaliers. You know, and
that,
I know it's one of those things where it's
question.
Like you can't imagine that happening. But
Kobe
it's one of those, listen, man.
He's making
he is the Lakers right now. He's the face.
Lunch.
But the amount of money he's making, and even with that, he's making a point for every million he's making a year. But
it's just moving forward. It's just crazy because if you think of everybody else, I mean, because, you know, if you do it, you can find a way to justify it, you know, as a smart business move. A lot of Lakers fans are not going to be trying to hear that. But at the same time, if you look at everybody else who've been amnesty, you know, since they put that clause in, they were definitely underachievers. So, you know, it's going to be hard to
justify. No, I agree. No, I understand what you're saying. Just from a financial standpoint, even Kobe, like Kobe may say, look, if you amnesty me, I'm going to go
take
play
a pay
for
cut.
The Heat. He's going to go play for the Heat.
Or
he's going to go play with the Heat.
If he loves the Lakers like he says he does, you know, take the amnesty and re-sign for less money. Yeah, let's see you do
you
that.
Know, Kobe always wanted to play for the Bulls. You know, he thinks he's Mike, so he may take an amnesty and go play with Chicago for cheap.
Bulls need a shooting guard.
Hey, but listen, man. If Dwight goes and he goes to Houston, man, the bottom line is there's still some centers left, man. The Lakers can go back and sign Andrew Bynum, or I got a better one. They can go get Greg Oden.
Greg Oden will be with the Miami Heat. It's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Yeah, I think we could take Oden's name off the job. I think he's gonna go to the Heat. I think he won't. He'll never get hurt again. He's going to be a decent player, and he's going to help them run off 2 more titles in a row. The Heat have that kind of luck. Yeah, they have that kind of luck. And I think that's how it'll probably shape up.
Sometimes when you get in these modes where you you know competing for championships, it's better to have this kind of luck, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and by the way, Jetty Mar says if Kobe can't re-sign with the Lakers if they use the amnesty on him. So you can't immediately. Yeah, you can't immediately sign back with that team. So anyway,
is that the Stackhouse rule?
What's your opinion? Brad Stevens hired by the Celtics. And this was interesting to me because it came out of the blue. Like, they kept this under wraps really well. But this guy came up. This is like a 37-year-old guy and the head coach of the Boston Celtics.
Yo, everybody that I've seen comment on this is, like, ecstatic about it. I'm just like, I don't know, man. He's coming from Butler. You know, what he did with Butler, first of all, was amazing. Take a mid-major to the championship game 2 years in a row. But for me, that doesn't really prove that I should be hiring you as an NBA coach. But what they did do is wait until, you know, all the talent left the team to hire him. So he is going to have room to learn, room to build, room to grow if they give him a long enough leash, because you can't trade away all of his veteran talent and then, you know, if he's not successful after 2 or 3 years, you're ready to cut ties with him. So this seems like a move where they're willing to, you know, they're willing to wait it out. Yeah, give them time to become a great coach. So, you know, well, it's not my team. So
I guess it also energized their fan base, too, because, you know, they had nothing to look forward to. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe bring the college atmosphere or whatever. But, you know, they blew that whole thing up. And I think they had – sometimes this is what you got to do. I admire that, man. Sometimes people fall in love and they say, well, it's loyalty and this, that, and third. They're also running a business and – Even in situations like that, this is kind of my point with the Kobe thing. It was a better look for Pierce and KG because they get to still compete for a title.
That was a loyalty move. People may look at it as, how are they going to get rid of them? But that was a move of loyalty.
Exactly. So
I don't want you to toil away your last years of your career being with us.
We're
going
to move on and let you go try to win right now because the Nets basically loaded up to win right now. The Sacramento Kings made an offer to our man, Andre Iguodala, a 4-year, $56 million offer to Iggy. He wanted to think about it for a second, and they pulled off.
Iggy kind of played himself, not just because he was reluctant to sign the offer and they pulled out, but the fact that rumblings were out there that Denver was not going to match that. So now I think when he goes back to the table with any team, he's going to lose a couple million because they already realized, okay, the Kings were offering 56 and Denver wasn't going to match. The Kings pulled out, so I don't have to offer 56 million no more. So, you know, you can lowball that figure a little bit because he was reluctant. I can't say, you know, I blame him because if there's a team out there offering you money and you're not sure if you want to, you know, play for this team, then, you know, what are you going to do? You know, you can't just jump out there and take it because if Denver doesn't match and you're just trying to use it as leverage, then you're stuck in Sacramento. So it's
because Iggy would be a good fit on a team that can compete for a title but needs another piece. Like, Iggy would be a good fit on, like, an Indiana. But I don't know who has money to give Iggy at this point because it looks like the team that have money to give him, the Pistons and they're not really the good team. Yeah. Atlanta maybe or
Iggy coming back to Philly. But nah, Atlanta got money to give everybody. I'm about to go try out.
How about that?
Yeah, it's a crazy situation. So I hope he doesn't lose too much money by being a little reluctant. But, you know, at the same time,
you wouldn't let him leave the building. You'd have signed right away, huh?
Me, from my perspective, but Iggy probably like, yo, I don't want to play in Sacramento. So,
yeah.
And that's another thing. You know, who is Sacramento to be pulling offers because somebody taking time to decide?
Because they said they heard Tariq was, you know, ready to make that move, and he was coming cheaper.
Yo, there was almost there was almost, you know, not going to be a Sacramento Kings. So y'all can't be cocky, you know, with the offer sheet.
Yeah,
better wait and see if somebody somebody bites.
Yo, speaking of free agency, right? J.R., who I like to call A.R. Smith because he's like an A.R. Anyway, A.R. Smith re-signed with the Knicks. 4 years, $24.7 million. Are you shocked by that deal?
No, I'm not shocked because I knew, you know, I knew they were hard-pressed to get him back. So I pretty much knew, you know, they were going to give him fair market value for, you know, the best or one of the top two, six
men
in the league.
I heard he offered more. He offered more by somebody.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, he and Melo have been together for a long time, so maybe he helped him make his mind up a little bit. What's interesting to me is that, you know, that's what JR got, but you have a guy in Washington, Martell Webster, who they re-signed for 4 years, $22 million. So he's getting like $2.4 million less than the sixth man of the year. You know, he averages like 11 points, three rebounds, under two assists.
Yo.
So I'm kind of wondering if the, you know, even if we're going by fair market value, did the Wizards overpay for Martell, being as though the New York Knicks, who's known for spending money, you know, gave what they gave to the reigning sixth man of the year? Interesting.
Yo. No, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. I got a couple of points on that real quick. We got a couple of tweets coming in. Glass says the Lakers need to press the reset button and just, like, start from scratch, and I agree with him. Now, at Casey Mack 38 is giving us this. But when Casey Mack comments on basketball and it revolves around the Mavericks, I don't know whether he's really analyzing what's going on or this is wishful thinking. He says that Monte Ellis is coming to Dallas. D-12 will follow next year. Dirk's going to take a pay cut, and then the Mavs sign another Mavs player and have a big four. I don't know where he's
follow
from,
next year, and where he's going to play this year.
KC Mack, man, you got to call in and let us know what you talk about, man, because we don't know whether you're just making this up because we know you're a Mavericks guy. is this what you want or what you think's going to happen, man? But
first of all, who's following Monte Ellis anywhere? And that's not a diss to Monte Ellis because the dude can go, but he's not really, like, known as a winner, a leader, or anything like that. So, you know, I might be on a team and tell Monte, yeah, you know, we building something. Why don't you come hoop with us? But I ain't following Monte Ellis nowhere.
Yo,
but
all
if
I know
he,
about
if
Monte
he's saying
Ellis
D-12 is going to go to Dallas next year, then where is he going to play this year?
Exactly.
Unless he's saying next year as in this year coming up. I don't know. But
okay.
I don't know. He calling in now. We see what's up.
Yeah,
PC Mac, what's up, man?
What these
evil theories you're cooking up in the kitchen, man. Explain this one to
me. Here's the deal. Dwight and Monte are buddies.
Who and Monte?
Okay.
Dwight?
Dwight and Monte.
Dwight and Monte.
Okay.
Right. Monte is going to come, and Dwight will follow him this year.
Oh,
okay.
This year.
Right now you mean?
Right now.
Okay.
Next year, Dirk will take a pay cut where he can bring in another max player. I don't know. You got LeBron, you got Melo, or whoever.
Yo, you
are going to get one
cooking it up.
We're going to have.
Yo, did he just say LeBron?
You are cooking
man.
It up in the kitchen, man.
Just hear me out. Hey,
right,
we can have four big fish here in Dallas.
Y'all must got some good dope down there, man.
Hey, you got some dope down here.
Yo,
if Monte comes, I'm not
going to
be no shot for nobody.
Well,
you just imagine.
Sipping
when
on that South Fork oil, man. Come on.
Monte will be the fourth best player on the team. Dirk will be the third. Dwight be the second, and, you know, we'll get that big fish to LeBron next year.
All right, man, I'm going to write this down, man.
Yo, we definitely got to write this down. Matter of fact, I'm going to Twitter now, man. I'm going to favorite your tweet, man, because I'm going to save this. I'll be like Harry S.
You know, when it all happens, I'm going to be the one cheesing because everybody called me out this Houston crap.
If that happens, you're going to be cheesing because you're about to win not one, not
okay.
two,
let me ask you
not
this.
Three.
Where Dwight Howard right now?
I don't know. I can't answer that.
Right,
you may know.
He's in Colorado.
He's,
not, He's in Colorado right now.
Okay. Oh, yeah,
Cookout
he went out there
out in Colorado.
He went out there to ponder his decision with his crew.
He's staying at Mark Cuban's. He's staying at Mark Cuban's place right now in Colorado.
Listen. In our chat room, he said he heard the same thing. Jetty Marsh, shout out to Jetty Marsh in the chat room. He said he heard the same thing. So you're not alone in his thinking, but you know we'll see what happens.
And
listen, if you're right, I'll give you your credit.
Hey, one more thing. You think like this?
Uh-huh.
Mark Cuban has Dwight Howard on the Shark Tank, sitting right next to him.
Hey man, it's bold, man. It's bold.
I'm speechless, man. I'm like, first of all, I don't put anything past Mark Cuban because he seemed like the type of dude.
You laugh now.
You know.
You laugh now.
No,
don't be amazed.
Listen, if it does happen, look, God bless y'all, man. I don't hate the Mavericks. Y'all one of them teams that nobody really hates. Like, nobody can hate y'all. So, you know,
and
if it happens.
Know one thing. Cuba knows how to put a team together.
Yeah, you know, we shall see. If it does happen,
first of
all,
I like the area. So, y'all do that, I'll probably be spending more time down there just going to games just to see this whole thing come together. But, all right, we'll hold you to that. We'll see if it happens, man. But we got a few minutes left, so we're going to get out of here and finish talking about these movements. But we're definitely going to ponder that one, man.
Thanks for checking
in
with us, homie.
All right.
Same to you,
brother.
All right. Take it easy.
That's a bold rumor.
Yeah, man. You know, if it happens, it happens. I know Kill's not here to talk about it. But
well, the first part
Kill
of the
actually,
rumor, maybe you should change the verbiage on that a little bit, because ain't nobody following Monte anyway. If they decide that's what they're going to do, then it's really Monte going because Dwight said, okay, I'm going to go.
Yeah,
ain't nobody following Monte.
I was bringing up, though, that our brother Kill actually has a residence in the area in Dallas, and he loves to talk about no state taxes, and Jeff Martin's brought that up, like no state taxes. And that's when you're in the NBA, man. Keep the state tax, you know. It's a big thing, man. It's the reason why cats hate playing for the Raptors because they state taxes up there. It's ridiculous.
And they get double taxed. They get taxed by the U.S. and taxed by Canada. And the Canadian tax alone is crazy.
Now, back to Martell Webster.
Make like $4 a season playing for the Raptors.
4 years, $22 million. The only thing I can think about this is that must have been one of those you know, analytics picks. Like, they must have looked at his per 36. Yeah, it must have been his per 36 or something. Like, maybe he doesn't get the time, but his per 36 is high. That's the only way I can see that, because my man averages 11 points. He got $22 million. Like, J.R. Smith was sixth man of the year, averaged, you know, close to 19-20. He got about 24.7, so.
Yeah, but we were kind of comparing Martell Webster to Dunleavy Jr. the other day, and Dunleavy Jr., they have, like, identical stats, except for Martell Webster averages, like, 11.4. Dunleavy averages, like, 10.7 or something like that this year or last season. But their rebounding numbers, their assist numbers are identical, but Dunleavy plays, like, 3 less minutes per game than Martell Webster. I guess I'd venture to say Martell Webster is the more athletic player at this point, but he likes to sit back and shoot threes, too. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just the Wizards.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know, like, what his per 36 is. Like, it has to be something that – it got to be something that, you know, we're not saying. And I haven't broken down his statistics, you know, and looking at his advanced statistics. But it must be something, man, because dude, like, to get that kind of point, I mean, he's a career 8.9 per game score.
You know, per 36 last season, 14.2 – points per game, 2.3 assists, 4.8 rebounds. You know, per 36.
It's not even that much higher.
So, yeah, I don't know.
it's
not that much higher because it's not that much higher, Jimmy,
because
he already averages 28.9 minutes a game. So it's not like he's not playing. He's almost playing 30 minutes a game. So he's a, you know, a big piece to the team.
Yeah.
I guess they're figuring, you know, with the crop of six men, maybe they're like, you know, this is our guy. We're not going to get one of those other guys. We're not going to get a J.R. Smith or Jamal Crawford. So we take who we have and overpay them a little bit, but keep them in town. I don't know who they were
crazy.
Bidding against, though. Who were they bidding against? The Redskins?
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Been against Daniel.
And plus, like, has a history. He has a history of being injured. Like,
yeah.
You know, he shot 58.4%. Like, from so all right,
yeah.
I just don't get
big
it,
history
man.
Of being injured. He's played 18 games, 27 games, 70 games, 49 games, 1 game, 26 games, and 62 games. He played 1 game 1 season. Come on, son.
Yeah.
So
that's kind of crazy.
Shout out to Martell.
Yeah, that's definitely crazy right there, man.
Get your money, kid. All right,
now, here's what I got to ask you, man. Our brother B's not here. You know, I wish he was to answer this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Manu Ginobili, after the finals he had, you know, he re-signed with the Spurs and got a nice piece of chicken. So do you think that this is blind loyalty, or do you think that Manu still has something to offer?
I wouldn't say blind loyalty. Because he, you know, if you're looking at Martell, he averaged 11.8, 4.5 assists, and 3.4 rebounds. I mean, he's not as young as a Martell, but I don't know. I mean, I think I might rather have the veteran who's been there and knows what he's doing. So I wouldn't say blind loyalty because, you know, it's a 2-year deal. I think the money comes out to like $14 million for the 2 years. It's definitely a loyalty thing, but I don't know if it's a blind loyalty thing. I don't know if we could say, oh, they're stupid for re-signing Manu. Because we're judging on the last thing we saw, which was the NBA Finals. Now, if we're just judging on the NBA Finals, then, you know, at times Manu looked like he didn't even belong in this league anymore. But I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's bad. I think Manu still has something in the tank.
People think I was crazy. I could swear watching the finals that Pop kept putting Manu in positions to try to redeem himself. Like, I swear he did.
Exactly. I think he threw the finals away trying to get Manu to redeem himself.
So it's like, you know, it doesn't shock me.
So he just gave him two more years to redeem himself from the finals.
Yeah, he got 2 more years to redeem himself. He's like, man, look, man, I'm putting my faith in you, man. You got to come through eventually. You can't keep stinking it up like this. But,
good.
I mean, you got to give Pop the benefit of the doubt, man. You never hear about the Spurs being over the cap or having cap issues or anything like that. And, you know, they're like a well-oiled machine. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens, man. But, like, if you're based on it, like you just said, based upon what we saw last out of Manu, I don't know about that. Manu was looking shaky, baby. Yeah, man.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely looking shaky. I mean, he's still, $7 million a season. It might be a little too much at this point in his career. You might want to bring that down to maybe 5, something like that. But
yeah.
But at the same time, Manu probably has something to prove. So, you know, he might have a good
season. We talked a little bit about Iggy and how Iggy blew all that money. And in part of it was because of Tariq Evans. Now, he signs an offer sheet with the Pelicans, and they're saying the Kings won't match. How do you feel about the move, and what do you think about them trying to convert him into a sixth man? Do you think that's a good move?
I actually do think that's a good move. I think, you know, Tariq could be one of those type of guys who's instant offense off the bench. I think if he did come off the bench, his name could be up there with the J.R. Smiths and the Jamal Crawford types.
I
think him going to the bench is a good thing. With the Kings, if they weren't going to match this offer sheet and they took their offer off the table for Iguodala, like, what's their next move? Like, what's the end game for the Kings as far as getting, you know, somebody else, another swing man?
They're going to find the next Martell Webster. they're going around the league to see who averages about 10, 11 points. We're trying to get somebody to average about 10, 11 points. Coming off the bench, I mean, that'll be interesting. Like, I was looking at his numbers and, you know, didn't realize that his numbers have gone down every year since being in the league.
Who, Tariq?
Like, it's crazy. Yeah, every year his numbers have went down. He went from averaging over 20 to averaging like 15 points a game.
Man, he went from rookie of the year to – it seems like the Kings always had trouble like fully deciding how they were going to use him. Because, you know, he's run the one,
agree.
He's run the two.
Completely,
you know,
agree.
At the one, he scores, but he really didn't get people involved too much. So they've had a hard time
he
with
his skills. 20-something points a game to like 50. I mean, he went from like, you know, rookie of the year to his bodyguard, Uchiwali versus better than his. Like, he came a long way down, yo. And like Jimmy Moore said, they kept drafting guards. That couldn't help. You know,
yeah.
So a fresh start will probably be good for him. I think that he'll fit in well with them. So the Pelicans roster now, they still got Doc's boy. What's up with them? All the guards they got. They still got Gordon, too. They got Drew. So,
I think Doc's boy
Pelicans,
is the odd man out in that situation. I remember on draft night when he thought they had Noel, he immediately sent out a tweet saying, you know, welcome to the team, Nerlens Noel. Let's get to work, youngin. Like he was a 10-year vet calling people youngin or something like that. Dude, your spot is not even solidified because Eric Gordon's there, and now they got Drew Holiday for the dude you thought was coming to town. So somebody needs
I'm
to send him a tweet.
I'm interested to see how that team gels and messes how they play because, mm-hmm. like, I'm looking at the moves they made. Now, I give them credit for making moves, but to me, when I look at it, it looks like they put themselves in a position where they may be a fringe playoff team. Like, they may be the 8th seed, 7th seed, maybe no higher than that. But then again, you know, but it's like I think they'll be stuck in the mud. I can't see them getting any better based on that. They're going to be like the Atlanta Hawks. Like, the Atlanta Hawks were, you know, pretty much made the playoffs the last several years, but they just put themselves in a position where they can't go any further.
Plus, they have talent. There's a lot of young talent. You know,
that too. They have to bring it all together. They don't have no veteran presence to kind of like, you know, keep them in line. But I don't see them making a move to get anywhere closer to a championship. And at the end of the day, that should be everybody's goal. They're going to be like the Atlanta Hawks, in my opinion, where they'll be, you know, not that good, but good enough maybe to eke into the playoffs. And, I mean, they're going to be worse than the Hawks because the Hawks did win a playoff, like, a series before.
The Highlight Factory. Then they broke that up. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's what I see.
I definitely get you. It is difficult to see, you know, even with the moves they're making, you know, okay, but what now? What next? Like, most of the leaders on your team are young. Are they ready to make that move to lead this team, you know, to a playoff berth and a playoff run in a talented Western Conference? I don't know. As a Sixers fan, I hope not. Not this year, at least. You know?
Mm-hmm.
That pick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking for lottery balls. That's all I'm looking for. So,
yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, that's what you gotta hope for, man. It's like a race to the bottom in the NBA between like the Celtics, the Sixers. You see, teams now is basically tanking seasons. I'm just wondering how cheap we can get some season tickets for as a Sixers, man. Maybe a couple hundred dollars, get some floor
Andre
seats.
Andre Wiggins,
man.
He's not exactly getting the LeBron treatment. But, damn, it's not that far off the way people are already talking about teams tanking.
Listen, man,
and Andre Wiggins. Not even
I told
from
you
Canada.
The other day.
They ball like that in Canada.
He's from Canada, right? It was like three dudes in the first round drafted from Canada this year. We got to go up there and watch some games or something. But I'll tell you this, right? If somehow the Raptors end up with the first pick, I'm jumping on a bandwagon of the NBA being fixed. Because,
yeah.
You know, we talked about it when the Knicks got Ewing, when Cleveland somehow got LeBron. And, you know, the NBA has been trying to work in Canada for years.
Even last year with Davis. You know what I'm saying? They had just, you know, the whole thing with the Chris Paul trade that they didn't let go through. And then they lost Chris Paul. They sold the team. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of think that's a wink, wink. Okay, you bought the team from the NBA. We'll throw in the number one draft pick. So you'll get that lottery. Toronto get it, it's suspect.
Yo, if Toronto get it, yo, I'm going on that bandwagon because that'll be too much. That'll be too much, man. So, yo, it's funny because Jetty Mar said the same thing in our chat room. He's going to go to Toronto, he has a feeling. So, man, shout out to Jetty Mar, Kyrie, everybody in our chat room. You know, we about to get out of here, but I definitely don't want to see that happen because, like I said, I'm joining the conspiracy theorists if it does. But everybody, thanks for joining us for this holiday edition of The War Room. Shout out to everybody in chat room on Facebook, Twitter, for the calls that did get through. You know, shout out to you. For those we couldn't get to, we apologize. Special thanks to Sam Shea for joining us to talk some football. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of your favorite show. We're working on having Philadelphia Eagles receiver Aurelius Ben in the war room, so he should be here next week to talk about the upcoming training camp with his new team. Until then, enjoy your holiday and your sports week, and we'll see you right back here next time. Be sure to catch our conversations all on the Internet, Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, everywhere around. Also, warroomsportstv.com. Go check that out. We have video content. Rate, subscribe, talk to us on YouTube. We'll definitely respond back. Everybody, party responsible. And until next time, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Shout out to GS6. Look them up. Google them.
All the blueprint.
Yo.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode.
Woo!
2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.